Happy Mother's Day to all of you. I know I'm not a mother, but I see what my wife goes through, and I know it's a very difficult job. She is a wonderful mother to our kids. She works hard. She does the clothes. She cooks, and she never stops. And I know many of you women do the same thing and keep your house. And so we thank you all, and I love you, baby. You're a wonderful woman. You're a wonderful wife, a wonderful mother. She's a wonderful mother of this church. You know, many of you look up to her as a mother, as a spiritual mother. And so we appreciate all that you do. Amen. We were going to start off with a video, but our video system is acting improperly because of some lightning in the past couple of days. But it'll be all right. At the end of the day, we're going to hear a message, and our hearts are going to be touched, and two or three are gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus. And it doesn't matter what we see, because God will ultimately overcome. Amen. Amen. So we've been in our series, Examining Your Face. And so we spent the first 2 weeks talking about our mouth. And so our mouth is basically a direct product of our heart. And so what comes into our heart is our mouth will begin to speak, right? And so if good things are coming into our heart, we're going to speak good things. If bad things are coming into our heart, we're going to speak bad things. And so we were challenged to examine our hearts and to watch the words that are coming out of our mouth. And then last week we talked about how we are to not only do that, but we're to speak those things that are not as though they were. So how many of you guys have taken up that challenge and said, hey, you know what, I see some things in my life that are not as I think that they should be, or as though I believe that God has intended them to be, and I'm going to start speaking that they will be, and that they will start aligning to those things and to the purposes of God. Amen. So maybe your kids are wilding out, and maybe they're not living for God the way you want. Hey, you're going to start speaking, hey, look, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. And you begin to speak those things over your life, and we're just going to believe that things will change. Amen. And so in this video that I was going to show you, it basically showed you the eye and the importance of the eye. You know, like with your eyes, you can see some beautiful things. I mean, anybody ever, you know, just maybe you've been to the Grand Isle and you're just looking out on the water, and just it's so serene, it's so calming whenever you see those things. Or maybe you've been to nicer places like in Florida, and the water is more bluer and it's not as brown as in Grand Isle. And you're just viewing those things, and it's really beautiful, it's amazing. My wife and my kids and I, we had the chance to go on a cruise, and we went to Mexico. And we found these little places called cenotes. And what a cenote is, it's like these underground lagoons. In other words, they find these trees, and these certain type of trees, and the roots go all the way down. And so what they do is they break up the rocks that surround these trees, and they go into these lagoons, and they go into these caves, these underground caves, and they find these amazing lagoons. I mean, it's like an oasis. It's with what, you know, you have water, and you see the stalagmites and everything. It is absolutely beautiful. You know, and so before kids, Tara and I have got to travel to some pretty awesome places. We've been to Peru. We've been to Costa Rica. That's before kids. We always call it BK or BC, before children. Because, you know, now we do like Tennessee and Texas, you know, things that are close. But anyway, we got to feast our eyes on some amazing things. And every time that we had this opportunity to do so, it just couldn't help but remind us of how good God was. That as I'm staring out on his creation, the thing that he created, I'm thinking, wow, what an awesome God that I serve. How he spoke these things into existence, and that some of these cenotes were not found until like 4 years ago, and they've been existing on the earth since God spoke them. But yet, whenever we find these little hidden treasures in the earth, we're just like, wow, how awesome and how magnificent and how wonderful our God is. Or maybe you know what it's like to look up at the stars and just to wonder how all those stars are just staying in place. That's a wonder. That's an awe. It makes us realize, man, our God is so good and he is so powerful. And so our eyes are the things, are the vehicles in which we see those images. Our eyes are which we experience pleasure the way God intended for us to experience pleasure. Amen. So whenever we look at the stars, the birds, every animal that's created by God, we can't help but think, wow, how awesome our God is. Amen. So bear with me. We don't have the slides. But in Genesis chapter 2, if you open up your Bibles at the very beginning of the Bible, so if you flip it open, you're in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, and it says this. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. So whenever God created all things, he created trees that were good for food. But he also created trees that were pleasant to the eyes. They were to be looked at and they were to be to bring awe and wonder of who our God was. That word pleasant really means to take delight in. That you take delight in God's creations. Because it reminds you of how good he is. God created our eyes so that we can experience pure, innocent pleasure. Amen? So just another example, and this one might be a little bit more comical, but in verse 22, just a little bit further down, it says, And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. So this is exciting because at first, God brings animals to Adam. And Adam names these animals according. He says, this is going to be a giraffe because of what it looks like. It has this long neck. And he says, I'm going to name this a giraffe. I'm going to name this an elephant. I'm going to name this a zebra because of what it looks. And so then none of these things were fit for a helpmeet for Adam. God still saw that Adam was lonely, even though he had all these animals. So then he brings to Adam a naked woman. Amen. And so needless to say, Adam liked what he's saying. Amen. And so this was the pure and awesome. It was holy before God. This is the way God intended it to be. They were both naked. They were both unashamed. Why? Because sin hadn't come into the world yet. Because we know that shame is a result of sin. So there was no shame. They were naked. And they were holy. And it was as God created them to be. It was a beautiful thing. Needless to say, Adam is like, I like a lot. Verse 23, it says, then the man said, this is at last, is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Finally, God, you got me. You got me. Like, I'm into this. I like what I see right here. You got me. The animals, they were cool, but I mean, this woman, this person, this being that you created, I'm going to call woman. I really like what you created, God. This is good. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. So God gave man this unique pleasure with his eyes that he looked upon Eve. He looked upon his wife, and he took great delight in what he's seen. And so this is how God intended our eyes to experience true, unadulterated, pure, innocent pleasure. Amen. Everything was good. Everything was great. Everything was perfect. It was holy until Genesis 3 happened. Everybody knows the story in Genesis 3. The same eyes that were intended to experience the pleasure the way God created, these eyes began to lust after other things. It says in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 6, it says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were open, and they knew that they were naked. Now, God had given them all the trees of the garden to enjoy, to eat, to take in pleasure. They even could have feasted their eyes on the tree that was in the center, but the Lord said, if you touch this tree, you will surely die. If you touch it, you're going to die. And this is where our eyes get us in trouble. Because we see things, we desire things, and then we pursue after those things, even though it's against the will of God for our life at that time. Whenever God said, or whenever God forbid that thing to be touched, he meant, do not touch it lest you die. But Eve looked at the tree and saw that it was good for food and saw that it was a delight to the eyes. And she disregarded her moral compass, which says this is wrong. And she pursued after that thing that she seen. And that's when sin happened. So when our eyes gets us in trouble, if you remember, this same thing happened to King David. At the time when kings were to go out to war, King David stays behind in Jerusalem. This was the first mistake. The second thing begins to happen. He's on the rooftop one day of his palace, and he looks over and he sees a woman bathing on, you know, outside. And so he says, "Hey, look, I want her. He looked with his eyes and he desired her. The desire became within him, and then he pursued after this thing. And because he pursued after her, he took her to lay with him, and she became pregnant. Because of his sin, because David allowed what his eyes to see to allow to a desire which led to sin, it affected generations to come. It affected Solomon. Solomon was the same way. Long story short about David, you know, he had Bathsheba was the woman that he seen, and she was not his to be taken. And so, but David took this woman named Bathsheba, and her husband, Uriah, was fighting for David. He was on David's side. He was on David's army. And David disregarded the fact of Uriah was loyal to him. He disregarded the fact that, hey, look, this was adultery and this was wrong. And he totally let his eyes lead him down the wrong path. He puts Uriah in the very fiercest part of the army, and Uriah is killed. So he's not only an adulterer, he's a murderer. This great David that we talk about in the Bible was an adulterer and a murderer. He let his eyes lead him to something that he desired, which led him to sin. And like I said, it was passed on from generation to generation. David was a womanizer. Solomon, even more so. Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. That is a lot of wives. You know, I'm thankful for one wife. Praise God. I love her. I love her with all of my heart. But 700 wives, you know, I couldn't do it. Yeah, I couldn't do it. 300 concubines, 700 wives. This guy was a womanizer. And so what this sin, what David allowed in his eyes, which led him to sin, affected generations to come. And it says in 2 Kings that these wives of Solomon led Solomon away from the Lord. It says that, and his wives turned away his heart. In other words, Solomon did, in fact, love the Lord, but he allowed what he's seen to influence who he was. And it led him away from the Lord. It led him away from loving God. The idea is that what you allow in through your eyes doesn't only affect you, but it affects those around you. It affects the generations that are looking at you. See, my kids, they watch what I'm watching, you know, and so I have to watch what I am watching. I have to make sure that my eyes are pure and that I'm not watching anything that can lead them astray. Because if they see daddy watching something that's bad, then they're going to say, well, dad watched it. I'm going to do the same thing, right? And they're going to take it to another level. So what you allow in through your eyes doesn't only affect you, but it affects those who are watching you. It affects your children. It affects your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. So was the story with David and Solomon. Now, for a moment, I'm going to pick on you fellas out there, and then I'm going to pick on the ladies. But let me pick on the fellas first, being that it's Mother's Day, right? In the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 27 through 28, we're talking about what we let in through our eyes and how it affects generations to come. It says this, "You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Got quiet all of a sudden. Y'all all like happy and giddy and everything. When I read this scripture, everybody like is quiet. What's up with that? It's one thing to see a pretty woman and say, wow, she's pretty. You know, like you would see a mountain or a tree or sunset. But it's another thing to say, wow, she's pretty and I want her. right? You let what you see with your eyes begin to direct your desires, which leads to sin, especially if you are a married man in this place today. The only person that you can lust after is your wife. Amen? You can lust after your wife all you want, all right? I give you total permission. You can lust after your wife and do so, but only her. Only her. That's what Jesus is saying. He says every other look, every other lustful intent is just as committing the sin of adultery. And so maybe many of you men out there would never purposely cheat on your spouse. But if you're looking at porn, the Bible says that is the sin of adultery. That is just as committing the sin of adultery. You're looking at naked women that are not your wives. You're committing adultery. So I would suggest that you place some defenses in your system and that you begin to get some of those things out. You delete those websites that you've been going to. You stop buying those books that you've been buying. You put some accountability software on your computer like Covenant and Eyes that sends a report of what you're watching to either your spouse or another accountability partner. If you want to break free from this, because if not, it will affect generations to come. Your sons are going to be perverts if you continue on this path. Your grandchildren will be perverts if you continue to watch the things that you're watching. Get some accountability. Book of Proverbs, chapter 5, verse. See, I talked about how your wives are the only person that you can look at. Watch what the Bible says about this. But in the book of Proverbs, chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, it says, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breast fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. This is in the Bible, all right? So in the Bible, giving you permission to lavish love upon your wife and to enjoy the wife of your youth and to let her fountain, to let her breast satisfy you and no other woman. Amen? This is good preaching. Whether you shout me down or not, this is good preaching. Amen? Now, I picked on the fellas. It's time to pick on the ladies just a little bit. I don't want to get stoned or anything up here or shot, but I'm going to try this. Happy Mother's Day, by the way. All right, so maybe you're not as stimulated visually whenever you see a hunky man. You know, you see a man with his shirt off and he's flexing his arms and you're like, yeah, okay, whatever, right? You're more like, hey, you know, you want to be loved and you want to be cherished. You want to experience love, and that's what stimulates you, right? But at the same time, you are moved by what you see. For example, whenever you see things on Facebook, you see your woman friend, right, your lady friend, and she's posting like how great her life is and how she married the most wonderful man, right? And they just celebrated 10 years of holy matrimony, and they just took a trip to Venice, and every step that he takes, rose petals fall out of his pockets, and he has the most perfect smile, and he's a robust man, and he just has it all going on, right? And so you're looking at this on Facebook, you're looking at this, you turn to your husband, you look at him, you look back on Facebook, you look at him, and he's neither robust, but he's kind of busting out the seams. He's not perfect. In fact, he messed up quite a bit. He doesn't have rose petals dripping out of his pocket. In fact, he chopped down the rose bush this past weekend. And you're thinking, why can't my life look like hers? Why can't my husband be more like him? Am I preaching this morning or what? And so we begin to compare our lives. I wish he was more like this. I wish she was more like this. And then we fall into the same trap that Eve fell into, which is discontentment. Discontentment. You become unsatisfied with what God has blessed you with, Remember, you pray for this man of God who is busting at the seams now. You pray for him. And God had answered your prayer. You're no longer lonely, right? And you forget that because you what you see the fantasy. And just let me let you know that what you see on Facebook is not real. You know, even though this lady's posting about this perfect guy, this guy is far from perfect, I guarantee you. All right? Facebook is a lie. I mean, you can make your life to be anything. I can go take a picture of a mansion right now and post it on my background, and it looks like I'm super rich and super wealthy, right? You can make yourself look like anything you want. But yet we compare ourselves to these images that we see on social media. And, you know, commercials are really good for sowing discontentment in our lives. You know, perhaps your phone is working great. Perhaps your car is working great. Up to the point where you see this new car, which is even better than your car, right? You see this new phone on TV, which, man, could do so much more than what your phone can do. And thus you buy into this discontentment. That's the same sin that Eve had. She had everything in the garden. Every tree was available to her, but it wasn't enough. She wanted more. She wanted that tree that was forbidden. And whenever we pursue after those things that God forbids in our life, that is when it becomes sin. And that's when we get ourselves in some trouble. Amen. What you allow through your eyes will ultimately affect who you are and those around you. It starts with a look, it leads to a desire, which leads to sin, which affects generations to come. One last scripture, book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, it says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light." Your eye is the lamp of the body. So I want everybody for right now just to close your eyes. Is there any light? No, it's completely dark, right? Now open your eyes, right? And so now you can see the light. Your eyes are the light of the body. In other words, you can all open your eyes. In other words, if I was to close my eyes right now and just continue walking, you know, I can easily fall off the stage and hurt myself. But because my eyes are open and the light is coming through, my path is well lit, and I can walk and not stumble. The light is the lamp of the body, and it keeps you from stumbling. And we know Jesus to be that light in our lives. Jesus to be the lamp or the light of this world. Amen. And that he shines in our lives, and that he directs our paths so that our eyes are open, so that what our eyes see ultimately affect all that we are. You know, it affects our movement. If I turn my eyes off, I will stumble, I will fall, my movement is impaired. But with my eyes open, I can walk, I can move, I can fulfill the purposes of God for my life. Just as your natural eyes will respond when light is shining in them, your spiritual eyes will respond to the light or darkness it receives. It will then convey that message to the rest of the body. So whether you let in, what you allow in, whether if you're letting in light, then light is going to the whole body. But if you let in darkness, if you let in those things which you see, and you let in that darkness, then guess what you have allowed in your body? Darkness and death. Amen. Amazing thing about this video, I wish it would show, but it talks about the blinking system. That whenever your eyes blink, everybody just take one blink. Whenever you open your eyes from a blink, your eyes are refreshed. You have like this new layer of water, this new layer of moisture on the eyes. And what this layer of moisture does, it prevents any bacteria, it prevents any impurities from getting into your eyes. When you blink and you open your eyes, the impurities are gone. The bacteria is gone. It keeps it at a distance. Now for a moment, I want you to think about the cross and what Jesus did for us and how he died on the cross. And he took his last breath and he said, "It is finished." And he died and his eyes were closed. It was dark. He went down to hell in the grave and defeated both of them. But then hell in the grave could not keep him down forever, because suddenly light came and his eyes were open. And because he resurrected, and because it is like newness to us as Christians, as believers, we are refreshed because of his love. We are refreshed because he has awakened to newness of life. And because of him, because of what he's done on the cross for us, that we can have our impurities washed away. We can have everything renewed. We can be refreshed. We can be restored. Our eyes can be reclaimed for the kingdom of God. Our old man has passed away, and our new man is arising with him. God, we thank you so much for what you've done for us. And though we may have let in darkness in our lives today, Lord God, through the things that we have seen, we know of your redeeming power. We know that you didn't stay dead forever, but Lord, you rose, Lord God, to new life. And Lord, and let that be a symbolic thing, Lord, that you refreshed us, Lord God, that you are able to remove all those impurities, Lord God, that we have allowed into our lives. God, we pray, Lord, that your restorative work would be done in this place today. That you would restore our eyes. Lord, that we would experience pleasure the way you called us to experience pleasure, Lord God. That we would not allow our sinfulness, Lord God, to destroy that. But Lord, we will use our eyes for your glory. When we ponder upon your creation, Lord God, we will be drawn back to you. We'll be drawn to your goodness and what you have done for us, Lord God. Today, Lord, we choose to use our eyes to feast upon you, to feast upon your goodness. So I'm going to ask you, if you're in this place today, you know, this is Mother's Day. And what greater way to honor our mothers than to make a commitment or to make a covenant before the Lord and say, I'm going to honor God with my eyes. I'm going to be a son. I'm going to be a daughter that looks at my eyes and examines my eyes and puts structure and says, I will not go there, but I will only allow good things into my eyes. I will only allow the things that God had caused to be pleasure the way he intended it, to go through these eyes, to go through these portals. So if that's you in this place today, if you just want to make a commitment before the Lord to honor the Lord with your eyes this morning, would you just stand to your feet? Say, God, from this day forward, I want to honor you, Lord, with the things that I see. Lord God, I want to honor you and what I allow into my eyes and what I allow into my body. God, I want to honor you because I know that it not only affects me, but it affects the generations that are coming after me. So, Lord, we choose, Lord, today as Hope Community Church to say, first of all, I ask that you would forgive us of our sins, oh God, for those things which we have allowed into our eyes and we have allowed to affect our bodies. Forgive us, oh Lord. Forgive us for lust. Forgive us for discontentment. Forgive us for jealousy. Forgive us, Lord God. Cleanse us. Wash us and make us new. And Lord, I pray from this moment forward, God, that we commit to honor you with our lives and with our eyes. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Lord, I pray, Lord, for each and every person who may be dealing with lust, God, that you will just help them. Lord, your word says that whenever we are tempted, that you will provide a way of escape each and every time. So, Lord, I pray for my brothers and my sisters, Lord God, today. I lift them up before you. I pray that you will be a shield round about their eyes, Lord God. Lord, that we will not be discontent. We will not give our eyes into lust. But, Lord, we will use our eyes to fulfill your purpose in our lives. We thank you. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in this place today. And let God's people say amen and amen.
Encourage you. If this is one of the things that you struggle with, find some accountability. What a blessed Mother's Day that would be if our men just were accountable and we were accountable. So find someone, even in this church place. Hey, I struggle with this. I need some help in this area. I know our brothers in Christ would love to help you with that. And also, I just remember that song. Remember, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Because what you see is exactly what you will do later on. So I encourage you, watch what you watch. Don't go home and watch all these crazy things that are out there, because there's a lot of crazy out there. But let's be people that honor God with our eyes, focus on Him, and He'll direct our paths. We love you guys. Make sure every lady that's in the building, you get a gift. So make sure you grab that as we leave. Just shower love on your ladies today. In Jesus' name, we love you guys. We'll see you Wednesday at 6:30.